Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
This is Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Lisa Dent. I think that Steve Bertrand comes back from his world trip on Thursday. Lauren Lapka is in the newsroom. Kevin's got an eye in sports. And Kevin, check out that story. I want to talk about the Oklahoma Sooners women's softball team. Man, they are saying they might be the best of all time. And Mary's got an eye on weather and traffic. On the phone right now is someone from Northwestern. This is an article that I read that I thought, I have never applied sunscreen to my eyelids because all the labels say don't get in your eye, you know, don't put it in your eye. And so Dr. Murad Alam is with us, and you're a dermatologist at Northwestern Memorial. Do you put it on your eyelids, doctor? You put sunscreen on your eyelids?
I can't say that I do, and I'm not convinced that everyone has to. Mostly our eyes are open, so they're not usually getting a lot of sun unless you're lying down and basking in direct sunlight. Now, if you do want to put something on your eyelid, I would go with a non-chemical physical blocker like zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. Those are little metal particles in a paste or a powder, and so they will not run into your eyes. But you don't want something liquidy that's going to run into your eyes.
Yeah, when I read that, I thought the same thing. When I read the article, I thought, oh my God, that's going to burn. If that, you know, if you start sweating and it rolls in your eyes, not only is it going to burn, but you don't know what kind of damage it's going to do.
Exactly. I mean, I think for most people, it's probably better to not do that unless they're really getting a lot of sun on their eyelids or they have very, very fair skin and a history of skin cancer. Then it might make sense. And then I'd go with one of the physical blockers. But beyond that, you know, the usual things will also help you, like a hat, like standing in the shade. All of that will be a big help.
And doctor, you mentioned zinc because we would always see lifeguards. I would see it, put them, you know, they'd have it on their eyes or around their eyes, all the white stuff. And I did see that comes out in a powder now. How does that work?
Well, basically, it's if you think about it, it's a little armor plate. It's just little tiny bits of metal with some other chemicals, but in a powder form. And it just goes on dry like a little paste or almost a kind of foundation on your eyelid if you want to use it. But again, if you want to use it, I think is the operative issue, because I don't think this is going to be a disaster if most people don't. But if you're getting exposure and if you need something, go with the powder.
As a dermatologist at Northwestern, do you see people come in with skin cancer on their eyelids or around their eyes?
They do get the skin cancer, yes, indeed. And we both the upper eyelids and the lower eyelids do get skin cancer. And we do have some eyelid plastic surgeons we have to work with when we take out those cancers to reconstruct them. So it can be a bit of a production. But again, I don't want everyone to be horribly anxious about this. For most people, this is not an issue, as long as they're using sunscreen other places and a hat and sun protective clothing.
I think people are anxious when they have a spot identified that is skin cancer, and a dermatologist or Mohs removes it, and they're unaware of how much tissue they have to take underneath that little dot. Are patients often concerned about that?
They are, because that's one of exactly what you said. Sometimes you don't know until you get started, is a little dot just a little dot, or are there some tentacles or roots or a little more underneath it? So obviously, the best solution is to try not to get skin cancer by sun avoidance. And, you know, some of the mechanisms that you're talking about, like this eyelid stuff, really are probably more relevant for people who have had a history of skin cancer. And I think those people are usually very experienced in applying sunscreen into every nook and cranny and being extra careful given their underlying risk.
And a history of skin cancer themselves or in your family?
Either. You know, this happens as we get older, because accumulated sun from years and years begins after many decades to make skin cancer. So if you're 20 or 30 or 40, you might not have gotten anything. But if your parents have, you know, you're in line for that and you can take steps to prevent it.
You know, I am interested in this because I'm married to a farmer. I know a lot of people who have had skin cancer and they have to do maintenance basically every year to maintain the level of skin cancer. But personally, my mom was diagnosed with a glioma at age 92, and it was nowhere else. The cancer did not travel from anywhere else in her body, but she always had an allergic reaction to sun, so she stayed out of the sun, meaning if she went in the sun, little red bumps would pop up any part of her skin where she was exposed to the sun. And there was some thought process prior to her dying that that glioma might have been an undiagnosed skin cancer. And I think people think when they get skin cancer that it can always be cut out. But how often does skin cancer leach into other parts of your body and create other issues or other cancerous tumors?
That's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought that up. For squamous cell carcinoma and melanoma, that can happen not infrequently. For squamous cell, which is the second most common cancer of any kind in the U.S., up to 5% of people might have it go to some other site. Other organ systems can cause problems there and obviously be much more difficult to control once the horse is out of the barn, so to speak. And for melanoma, the same is true. About 8,000 people a year, unfortunately, die of metastatic melanoma in the U.S., which means melanoma that spread and no longer can be controlled.
And so as a dermatologist at Northwestern, doctor, what do you want to tell people about what they need to do to keep themselves safe this summer?
Get checked once a year, and during the summer, do your best to stay in the shade, use sun protective clothing, sunscreen, and a hat.
And tell people why when we go for our skin cancer checkups, you have to check between our butt cheeks and our toes and other parts that make us feel highly uncomfortable.
Yes. Unfortunately, I'm sorry it makes people uncomfortable, but keep in mind we've seen everything and we do this every day. But it's because you never know where something might be lurking. And sometimes these things are in places you would not expect. Mostly they're caused by sun, but some of them are just caused by other factors as well. So we have to look everywhere.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey,
have
a great afternoon yourself. Coming up, we will speak with Ron Romero, the founder and executive director of the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66. They had a big event last night at Rialto Square Theater. And then we're going to talk to that Washington Post reporter about the craziness happening in Uvalde. Like, people driving from all parts of the country for a variety of reasons, and not just to offer comfort. It's almost like a circus atmosphere, and it's hard to understand, but hopefully she'll give us something to think about. You know, that's on the way. Lauren has your news next, your 3 o'clock news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
We're Chicago's family.